Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made the heavens and the earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, we have the following announcement from the classes east. It is with heavy hearts and deep sorrow that the classes east announces the sad decision taken at its meeting on June 28, 2023. The previous classes meeting in April had to deal with a serious matter, and therefore an investigation committee was appointed. After considering the report and recommendations by this committee, after speaking with Brother Vogelaar about this report and the new findings, and after hearing the advice of the deputies from the classes as far west and midwest, according to Article 49 of our church order, the vote was taken by classes. The report and recommendations, the advice of the deputies, and the vote of the classes were all unanimous. The outcome was, to depose Brother C. Vogelaar from the holy office of minister of God's word on account of transgressing the seventh and the ninth commandment. This deposition is effective immediately. May the Lord in mercy remember Brother Vogelaar in his old age, together with his wife and all others deeply affected by this. May the Lord also remember in mercy the consistory and congregation of Clifton in this most difficult time, as well as the entire denomination. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Psalm 130, the verses 3 through 4. Let us sing together. Psalter 83. How blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. The three stanzas of Psalter 83.
Thank you.
The scripture reading this morning you can find in the Bible book of Obadiah, and there of the first chapter, Obadiah chapter 1. But first we will read together the holy law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. I repeat Obadiah chapter 1. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves come to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers come to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hid things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him.
Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O demon, shall be dismayed, to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother, in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them. And there shall not be any remaining in the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain, the Philistines. And they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath. And the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepherad, shall possess the cities of the south. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. So far the scripture reading. Let us now try to seek the countenance of the Lord in prayer. Most holy, ever living and faithful being, thou who art the silent witness of all that takes place here below, but also the director and the fulfiller of thy counsel. Our Lord, then as thou dost fulfill thy counsel also in our days, then, Lord, thou art the one who will rule and guide all things unto that God-glorifying end. And then thou knowest, Lord, what also had to take place this morning in the midst of this congregation, but also in all the other congregations of our denomination, where that announcement had to be made public. of how that the classes had to come to that decision. Oh, we ask of Thee, Lord, that the contents of what we have sung together of the 32nd Psalm may yet receive an application. Lord, then Thy word also records how that Thy servant David was also one who fell, but he was restored by Thee. Our Lord, so we ask of Thee that Thou wouldst have covenant dealings with Thy covenant people, and that Thou wouldst remember them in the depths also in which Thy church, when left over to themselves, they can cast themselves. But all, Lord, do then also yet that wonder amongst us of that true and that upright and sincere confession, and then, Lord, that forgiveness. Then Thou art the God, as we have read that, out of Thy word, that there is forgiveness with Thee, that Thou mayest be feared. And then, Lord, Thou knowest how also it is in our own heart and lives, each one of us traveling to eternity. And that then this also comes to us all as a warning. And then we ask of Thee that then this also may yet be sanctified in the midst of the congregations, to receive a careful walk and talk before Thy holy countenance. Wilt Thou remember, Lord, that family? Remember our brother. Give what he stands in need of. Remember his wife, his children, all that are involved. We commend them unto Thy throne of grace. And may we also, Lord, as members of the congregations, that we may receive them also in our prayers to try and lay them before Thee. That we would not be so much a talking denomination, but that we may be a praying denomination. Lord, bring us on the right place with it. Wilt Thou remember, especially also, Lord, where this shows confusion. Oh, we ask of Thee, Lord, that then also this may bind unto the truth, which is not confusing. And Lord, that then also in the hearts of young and old, that our religion would not be based upon outward feelings, outward appearances, or even upon man. But Lord, that it may then also be that the truth may be known in our hearts. And then although, Lord, many storms blow against that truth, the foundation shall never be moved. And that so also this may drive out to make our calling and election sure in the hearts of Thy people. But also, Lord, could it is be used for an unconverted one to become converted. Lord, that these deep ways may be used in our denomination, that we may receive light upon that unalterable, unshakable foundation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Give that also to our young people, because, Lord, no doubt Satan will try to use it to point fingers. But, oh, Lord, may it bring our young people in their inner chambers, and that they may learn from this, that sin, how terrible it is, but also, Lord, that that truth of thy word, that that is the only solid foundation, and that that is a truth in which, as the poet may say that, the truth in which sinners are taught in the way untrod before. Oh, make it so, Lord, that these circumstances may yet be used by thee. May we lay before thee the needs of this people. Oh, thou knowest, Lord, we may stand amongst them, not as a stranger, but also as one who went in and out amongst them. Lord, may we lay their needs before thee, of the sick and of the afflicted, those who are being cared for in their own homes or in places of care. May we commend them all unto thee. And that so also, Lord, the ways of trials and afflictions may be sanctified by thee to receive knowledge of who thou art. Wilt thou remember, Lord, the needs of those amongst them who receive treatments for serious diseases or chronic illnesses and pains? Look upon them in thy mercy, also from amongst the young. May we lay before thee those who mourn, those who know what it is to lose their husband or their wife, but also, Lord, those who know what it is to lose children or grandchildren, but also parents. Oh, Lord, thou knowest how that that sorrow has to be carried. May we lay them before thee. Also the widow of our former brother student amongst us with her children, look upon them. May we lay before thee the needs of our families. Give love and unity and faithfulness to serve one another in that holy state of marriage. And if thou hast blessed with children, that also, Lord, that the parents may receive liberty and wisdom to instruct according to that aforesaid doctrine. May we lay before thee the young people of the congregation. Thou knowest how the world is busy to display all its treasures unto them and to draw them away. All we ask of thee in thy house today, that thou with thy Holy Spirit would draw unto thyself, raise up thy church from amongst them, look upon the young children, Lord, most of them also who do not understand the full sermon, but may they take some words home today. And above all, Lord, impress it upon their young hearts that they cannot meet thee the way that they are born. They cannot die that way. But Lord, wilt thou also give to them a solemn impression that a new heart is available by thee, that thou art the giver of that new heart, and that so their young knees may be bent, that they may seek thee, the living God, and that so amongst our young children also, thou wouldst raise up monuments of free and sovereign grace. Wilt thou remember so the needs in this congregation? May we lay before thee the consistory, the brothers, elders, and deacons. Help them in their respective offices. Grant unto them what they stand in need of to serve the people faithfully. Give them, Lord, a place in their inner chambers. Remember thy servant, our brother, who is bound unto them. Help him also. Also in that remaining weakness of his body where he can only serve them one time. Oh, Lord, give also unto him then what he stands in need of. And grant, Lord, that in all those ways thou wouldst also, that thou wouldst take it over for him. And that so he may have a place in the prayers of the congregation. Wilt thou remember the needs of our Christian school? Look upon all its efforts. Bless it. Remember the teachers. Look upon the school board. Give them wisdom. And also in these months of vacation, protect them, Lord, from an unprepared death. May we lay before thee the needs of thy kingdom. It is worldwide, but thy eye is upon it. Thy kingdom shall come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. O exalted mediator, with pierced hands at the right hand of the Father, to display the perfect merits for that church who has nothing good in themselves, but who by that operation of the Holy Spirit through faith at times may be given to behold that they are righteous in another, that their holiness lays secure in thy holiness, and that their end shall be peace because of him who went that way of bitter suffering, but also who again rose from the dead. And because he lives, they shall live. And because he went through death, death for them shall be the passageway unto eternal life. Feed thy inheritance today. Wilt thou administer thy servants whom thou hast called to labor in thy service out of his fullness? O exalted mediator, that there mayest be today a drop of that anointing oil of thy Holy Spirit. And then thou knowest, Lord, there is no worthiness in us. But that oil does not flow because of the worthiness of man. That oil flows because of Prince Emmanuel. May we preach him amongst our former people, where we served them as a deacon. And now we may stand here as one of thy servants. Make it through today. Oh, that there mayest be a testimony, Lord, that thou art in our midst, despite all the circumstances, despite all the sin and all the shame. But Lord, we beg it of thee, pass us not by, that also all these things may yet serve, that brands may be plucked out of the fire. Make it as real today, Lord, that it isn't right between us and our soul, and that it needs to be made right, but all in the preaching today, that that way in how thou dost make it right may be declared. Oh, Lord, we beseech it of thee, for thy kingdom's sake, for thy name's sake, and may our petitions then rest for Jesus' sake alone, in him and by him, and unto him we ask it, Lord, for his sake only. Amen. Let us continue with the singing of Psalter 220. The stanzas 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6 of 220. Great Shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. In might come and save us, thy people restore, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6 of 220, while in the meantime your offerings will be received.
Beloved congregation, those words that we have sung, that was the living complaint. What does that mean, children? A living complaint. You can complain a lot about this and about that, but as if to say, yeah, why do we complain? Because we would like it a little bit different. The need isn't really there. We grumble, we complain a little, but that Psalter 220, that is a living complaint. What is alive in that complaint? How far they had departed from the Lord. Is that alive in your heart too? How far you have departed from the Lord. How far your family is departed from the Lord. How far our churches are departed from the Lord. The vineyard of his own planting, that was his work. But what was the living complaint? Thy tender care, it doesn't know anymore. Sunday after Sunday, sermon after sermon. But it seems as if there is no tender care of that husbandman to his vineyard. Do you go bow down in sorrow because of it? Is there souls in Fort McLeod who have an inner chamber and who at times have to cry to the Lord? How dead it is inside. How barren. How unfruitful. Who at times in their inner chamber may receive a living complaint because of how far they have departed from the Lord. And congregation, you better believe it. It is easy to depart from the Lord. Nothing has to go. That is all natural. That is our choice in Adam. That's so easy to go away from the Lord. But to return, then that has to become again his work. And that is now exactly what his church in their departures from him learn is undeserved. And then in that way of how he returns, there is so many who stand in the way, themselves the greatest one. And now it is the Lord who has to go ahead of them. And it is the Lord who is going to go ahead of them. Because the Lord has his eye upon his own honor. And that's why there is hope for the church. Do you hear that, young people? Why is there hope for the church? Hope for the future. Because God has his honor in view. And God is not mocked. God deals with sin. But God will also go ahead of his people. And their enemies, oh, they are numerous. They are mighty. And they have no might against it. But the Lord is going to give unto his church messages along the way that his honor, that shall be glorified. And that is to the destruction of all their enemies. But that is also to the deliverance of their own soul. And that's why I have a text this morning, which you can find in Obadiah 1, verse 17. Obadiah 1, verse 17 is my text words this morning, where God's word reads thus. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. So far the words of our text. Underneath it, the prophecy of Zion's restoration. That is our theme, the prophecy of Zion's restoration. 3 points. First, a sure defeat. Second, a gracious restoration. And third, a covenant inheritance. So the prophecy of Zion's restoration. First, a sure defeat. Our text words begin with the word but. That's always a connection. Something went ahead of that. And that is my first point. The sure defeat of Edom, the enemies. The Lord is making that known in that little Bible book of Obadiah. Children, it is the smallest Bible book in the Old Testament, but it has a message. A sure defeat for God's enemies and the enemies of his people. Second, a gracious restoration. Then you come into the text words. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. 'Twasn't there for a while. 'Twas a heap of rubble. 'Twas smoking. There was nothing there. But now the Lord says by the words of the prophecies of Obadiah, but upon Mount Zion shall be. That is going to happen. There again will be that deliverance through the blood of the sacrifices, pointing to the blood of the Lord Jesus, a gracious restoration. And then my third point, a covenant inheritance. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. They won't just see it. They won't just see it from a distance. Oh, here lays a message for a concerned church who cannot deny that sometimes they have seen it, maybe only once, but who also have to learn that seeing is not possessing, and now how to receive the possession. It lays here in our text words. That lays declared, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions, those covenant benefits, because of that inheritance unto them. Jacob, that is the opposite of Esau. And Jacob had, he received that covenant right. Not in an honest way, but in a God-decreed way. And now so they will also receive the benefits of that covenant. May the Lord guide us into our text words and be pleased to leave a blessing behind by his dear Holy Spirit. Not much is known about Obadiah. But what is known is enough. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God. So young people, children, Obadiah wasn't making something up. His degree in whatever philosophy or whatever education you can find nowadays did not help his intellect to come up with these words. So simple. God visited him. And the Lord told him what to say to the people. Do you have such a dependent life? Waiting for the voice of the Lord. Waiting upon what his will is. What wilt thou have me to do? The vision of Obadiah. God came. God instructed. And God instructed Obadiah in a particular way as a prophet. Children, that office of prophet, those were the people, you would say the ministers of the Old Testament. And then they had a message for the people. And that message that is from the Lord concerning Edom. And Edom, that is in the Bible, the land or the area of land, a little bit south of Israel. And that Edom, you read that also in this little Bible book, has different names. For instance, I also read Esau, and I read in verse 9, Teman. That's a city in Edom. So you see that Obadiah is using different names for the same people. Edom as the land area, or the nation, the people. Esau as the head, Jacob's brother. And Teman as a particular mighty city. So that it is very clear from this Bible book, it is about that people in that land with their might and with their origin. He goes to the first one, the patriarch of the Edomites, Esau. And congregation, the Bible is simple about it. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Is that discrimination? No, no, it's the truth. What is the Lord making known? In regards to that covenant that the Lord has made that with Jacob because of an eternal love, and not with Esau, because also in the predestination congregation is always two parts, the election of the elect, but also the reprobation of the reprobates. And that is now also coming out in Obadiah, that the Lord is going to fulfill his counsel in the salvation of his people. That the Lord is going to work that out. And now exactly in the time period that Obadiah is writing, he is a contemporary, that means at the same time with Jeremiah, Zephaniah. And the children know that Jeremiah was the prophet who was raised up by the Lord at a crucial time period, when the 10 tribes were already gone into captivity, and where the last kings of the 2 tribes were also disobedient to the law of God. And that Jeremiah had to point out that they would receive punishment for their sin. The captivity of 70 years was a fact. It was going to happen. But now, because of that punishment that was going to rest on those 2 tribes for their disobedience to the Lord, then also the enemies seek an opportunity. Because you better believe that Satan never sits still. And now he is going to use a prime subject in his hands, one who is known unto Israel, actually one who is a twin brother to Israel. And that's so Edom. When Israel, when Jacob, the remnant of Jacob, has to hear the judgments of the Lord, and that fact that they have to go into captivity, then now Obadiah has to prophesy. Although, as if to say, everything is turned against you, Jacob. And although Edom is seizing the opportunity to take over the covenant benefits and the covenant land, that I will come and stand up for my own honor. I will fulfill what I have promised unto Jacob. And congregation, how was Edom busy to take that benefit of the covenant in a very treacherous way? Because you can read what now, how Esau or Edom was busy. Verse 10. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee. And thou shalt be cut off forever. That was also that in the day thou stoodest on the other side, when the Babylonians were coming with their armies. As if to say, you were not the target of their attack. Jacob was. Israel. Where were you? In that day thou stoodest on the other side. In the day that strangers carried away captive his forces, Jacob, and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. Oh, Esau, you made a league. You became friends with Babylon. You seized the opportunity. You should have done different. You should have defended your brother, but you didn't. You seized that opportunity for your own political benefit, but I seen it. I watched over it. And I am God. And so Obadiah is raised up by whom? Thus saith the Lord. That the Lord is going to come with a message for those enemies who are taking the opportunity when his people are at their weakest. When his people are under such attack that they don't know what to do with it anymore, Satan comes and seizes that opportunity. As how Edom and Esau was busy, so Satan is still busy today. But the word of God is timeless, doth saith the Lord. A sure defeat, those enemies shall not stand. Because my counsel, that shall stand. And oh yes, Edom, then you have a part in my counsel. But that's not for your salvation. That is for your destruction. And although it may seem for a time that it is going in the right direction for you, Edom, it won't last, because I stand above it, and my honor rises out of the dust. And as if to say, Edom, I needed Babylon to bring my church on the right place. And you helped along with that. But that was now so that I would hear from those my covenant people, their cries for help, their cries for mercy. And now Edom, that's now exactly the opposite by you. By you it is welling with pride in your heart of what you are accomplishing. By you it is welling up in your heart how smart and how crafty you have been. But Obadiah may prophesy a sure defeat. Edom, that shall not stand. No, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. And it is also language is used for Edom that is not used for Israel. Because what does it say? Thou shalt be cut off forever. God never says that to his people. He says they will be cut off. But it does not say that Jeremiah has to prophesy and Ezekiel has to prophesy that they shall be cut off forever. But that is now for those who don't belong to God. They shall be cut off forever. And congregation, all Edom, Esau, that was an enemy of the Lord. What is your life? How do you stand over against the Lord this morning? Are you resisting him with your life of sin? Are you resisting him with your unbelief? Yeah, what does that mean to resist him with his unbelief? Well, that you sit under the preaching but you don't believe it. That you hear about the gospel, but that you don't need the gospel. That's unbelief. And that is sin. And I read of that sin that is now God's enemies. And I read, thou shalt be cut off forever. O congregation, then also this morning, examine it. With our baptism, we are not Jacob's seed. Then we have the sign and seal of the covenant. That's true. Esau had that too. He was also circumcised. That's not saving. Church attendance. Esau was religious. I read that Paul writes that he sought his repentance carefully with tears. It was not enough. It is not enough if you cry about sin and about the consequences of sin. has to become a matter that my sin has dishonored God. You know that? Then you became worthy of something in your life. What is that? To be cast off forever. That you would have no benefits from the covenant anymore. That God would say farewell to you. Now those people, they hear about Esau and they see their own life. And when they hear my first point, the sure defeat, they say, oh, then that is for me. I have to own that. That I must be cast off forever. But Obadiah is not prophesying only that sure defeat is for enemies, but that the Lord is now also gracious. And congregation, that's now something that those people can just take out of the Bible and stick it in their pocket. That needs an application. That gracious restoration, that is my second point. That needs the application. Edom wasn't worried about it. How is that with you? Are you sometimes laying awake because of your eternal state for eternity? Say it is. Mothers, fathers, when you're all alone, in your field or in your office or driving down the road or in your pantry or laundry room, is there then sometimes in your heart and life thoughts about where you will have to spend eternity? Or is it all busyness and is it all business? Or is there places that you can point out where you have to bow your knees and you actually really don't know what to say to the Lord? But that as an enemy, as one worthy to be cast off forever, you are seeking communication with that holy God. That there you bow your knees, and I say you don't really know what to pray. But that there is a longing in your heart to come to know that God who you don't know. And is that why your Bible is not just a book you read at night to quiet your conscience, but that you bow your knees before you read it and after you read it, and you say, oh Lord, that is thy word. Reveal thyself unto me through it. Obadiah is raised up for who? Powerless people. Obadiah has a message in the time that it seems as if Satan has Edom in his claws to wipe out the whole church and everything that was left of it yet. And not just to wipe it out, but that Edom would take it over. As if to say that Edom would build a temple in Jerusalem. That's the fear. And now there is a church in 2023. They cannot say they are converted. They cannot say that they belong to God's people. But they do have a life in which they are seeking Him. And not just to quiet the conscience, but that there is a longing in their heart to know Him. And I emphasize it, people. Those people who I just described are not converted. So they don't just say that, they also live that. They live out in their life that they don't belong to God's people. That is not a people who are talking with their mouth and secretly in their heart, they have that feeling, oh, now I feel quite converted because I'm talking so poor. That is unbiblical, that is ungodly. that is unconverted. But now when God begins to work, then it is a people who don't belong to God and who cannot place themselves with God's people. And no matter what they talk, they also cannot change that inside. That's now a people who are made dependent on the Lord. Congregation, when God converts you, no one has to tell you to go to an inner chamber. They do that. And when God converts you, no one has to tell you to read the Bible. They do that. Because it is God who is taking the highest place and he is drawing unto himself. And now this people are going to be declared in the words of Obadiah in the way of a gracious restoration. And that is a wonder because there is a small word in our text. But that's over against all what Edom is trying. That is over against all what those people have to encounter in their life as failures to try and restore the relationship with God. In the life of God's people, he breaks everything down to make room for but. And how does he break that down? Then he even can use Edomites to bring them on the right place, to exalt that wonder. Oh, hear Israel, or I should say the descendants of Jacob, they are not able to restore themselves. They are not able to go back to Jerusalem. They are not able to rebuild the temple. Those people, in light of the restoration, learn they can do nothing. And that's not to excuse that you can just stay sitting in your church pew hoping for conversion. Huh? No, these people have something behind them that they have labored on their knees in their inner chamber. They have tried in so many ways to make it right, but it is all failures. It is a heap of rubble that doesn't change in their life. But gracious restoration, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. All the ways went so contrary to their expectations for Israel. And there they sit with that impossibility and the way that the Lord holds with them so incomprehensible. And the enemy rejoicing. And then God comes with that message for his Jacob. Oh, do you see what Obadiah may prophesy? Remnant in the midst of distress. Remnant in the prison of your own existence. That the Lord is going to come and restore his own work in them. And the Lord is going to do that according to his way, but upon Mount Zion. That is a well-known place. That is the place where they have been before, but now they cannot go there because Edom has taken his hand towards it. And now it is the Lord who is going to take it over, and he is going to speak about his will and congregation that is now in the lives of those people to wonder. God has a will towards their restoration, and that is going to be his will. Not in their little sanctuaries in Babylon. Not in the synagogues of your own making. But upon Mount Zion, and there lays the impossibility. Congregation, it is so easy to come to church on Sunday and to worship the Lord and to sing the psalters. You have to do nothing for it. That's so easy. But now where it has to be done in honor and in truth, that is now exactly the impossibility that Obadiah has to prophesy of. Those people are not able to come to Mount Zion. Those people are not able to worship God rightly and truly from the heart. Here the impossibility lays declared in the struggles that they are not able to give God what He is due. Because of their sin, because of their backsliding, because of their idolatry. But upon Mount Zion, as if the Lord says, I will do it. Upon that mount that I have chosen, children, you can read it, how the Lord did that with David. The threshing floor of Arauna, that is the place where Mount Zion has been established. There I shall be worshipped. And there lays the impossibility, I said, of the restoration of the worship, the true worship of God. Ah, is there then souls here this morning who understand it? Who go to church on Sundays with the desire for that true worship? But who have to hang their suit up on Sunday night and say, oh Lord, 'twas two sermons. But it was nothing for my soul. Oh, it isn't restored, Lord. It is still broken. Edom still has the upper hand, so to say. I have not been brought by that Mount Zion. And now Edom is going to be declared as a defeated enemy, and God is going to declare that He is a gracious restorer, that upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. That is the Lord coming to give in the heart and lives of His people, that He is going to not just make a beginning, but He is also going to finish perfectly what He for them has undertaken. And that so this Mount Zion in the prophecies of Obadiah is the place where God is going to bring His church for their restoration. Because upon Mount Zion the blood flowed. Upon Mount Zion, God restored unto Israel that worship of Him. And now here in the promise lays declared that there is a time coming in the lives of these people under the attacks of Edom, that the Lord is going to bring them back to that temple, that the sacrifices will flow in which God is honored. Oh, do you see then for that powerless people, Mount Zion shall be restored. And what shall be declared there on Mount Zion? Who God is. Because it says that Zion shall, but upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance and there shall be holiness. What is that? That is who God is. God is the God of deliverance. And God is the God of holiness. And now the Lord promises, by the words of Obadiah, that there on Mount Zion, I will be there. And I will be there to deliver. Oh, then I may say it here this morning, Fort McLeod. God does not just teach His people the wages of sin, but also that the gift of eternal life is through Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's the God of deliverance that is taught in the restoration of God's honor in the life of a sinner. On Mount Zion, the Lord is going to declare He is the God who delivers. And it is in the life of those people who don't know God, who do not know how to worship Him, but have that longing unto Him, that Obadiah is raised up to teach them. He is the God who is the God of deliverance. May I ask that this morning, Fort McLeod, is there a Sunday in your life? Has His Word been opened unto your soul? That God became the God of your deliverance. You never forget that word. When God is pointed out in your life as the God of your deliverance, it will take place on Mount Zion. God says there, and in that temple, I will reveal to my Jacob that I am the God of his deliverance. And not only the deliverance, because children, why did they have to go into captivity? Because of their unholiness. Because of their unholiness. And what is now the sin that cleaves unto God's inheritance? That is their unholiness. And there as if to say, you know what lays declared in this text. That God is their justification, but also their sanctification. Because in the life of God's sighing pilgrims here through this Meshach, they have to sigh mostly about their unholiness. Right, Church of God, say it this morning. Was there sighs this week because of your unholiness? Was there a laboring in your inner chamber because of your unholiness? Now the Lord comes by word of Obadiah, and he begins to proclaim unto an unholy people that he is going to restore in their lives their holiness. And therefore it lays in our text words. Not as just a maybe. Maybe I will restore Zion. So I would deliver you and I would again give you holiness. No. The Lord says I shall. And therefore upon Mount Zion that church is allowed to learn the lesson that they shall be declared holy. Or they had to go into captivity because of unholiness. And Edom seems to take advantage of their unholiness. But now God comes to declare of that covenant benefit, I will, they shall, and I will restore upon Mount Zion there the deliverance. But also there the holiness, O Church of God, in your unholiness. There the Lord is going to declare in Mount Zion the foundation for your holiness. That blood that cleanseth from all sin, not just in the justification, but also the blood that cleanses, that becomes necessary in your sanctification. And now it is the Lord who has to declare that unto that people. Do you know what that means? That a justified person, yeah, I don't mean that they know that consciously, but the one when God comes once over in your life to show something of that mediator Christ Jesus, then you may see something of your justification. The possibility that all your sins can yet be forgiven. Now so also the Lord is going to come over in the lives of those people to show that it is also His will that they would be sanctified and that He is the gracious restorer of their holiness. Or then here below, as our Heidelberg Catechism also declares that, that is here but by beginnings. But there is a place that is waiting. And there the Lord is going to grant eternal deliverance and eternal holiness. But that is that in the time here they have heard it declared unto their soul, to the wonder of their soul, to the amazement that the Lord still knows how to declare in the midst of their unholiness, that He is also the God of their holiness. Oh, do you see what is happening in this restoration of Israel? That the Lord is showing who He is for His people. And congregation, that is conversion, or? Then the Lord is going to show you who He is for you. That's why Obadiah had to prophesy. That's why still his ministers have to go forth, because God is going to show unto his people who he is. And that is now where God's people receive strength. Not out of the ministers, but out of that truth that God is able to display unto their souls through those instruments. And that so the truth that the Lord brings unto his people through those instruments, that becomes the comfort. And now so Obadiah may be the tool in God's hand. When Edom was raging, it seemed like he was winning. Obadiah becomes the tool in God's hand to declare unto a powerless people who he will be for them. I will be the deliverer. And I will be your holiness. Oh, congregation, Edom can't go against that. That's for his people. And therefore, congregation, the Lord does not only say what he will do, but also what he will give, because the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. That's my third point, but let us sing first. 379. The stanzas 1, 3, and 6. By Babel's streams we sat and wept, for memory still to Zion clung. The winds alone our harp strings swept, that on the drooping willows hung. 1, 3, and 6 of 379. You say that's all true. I believe it. That God is the God of the deliverance and God is the God of holiness for His people. But I can't hold on to a thing. I have Sundays and I hear something, but it slips through my fingers. And then I have to go again. And it is all Edom. It is all strife. But do you know what the Lord is saying this morning in the text words? And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Because my dear hearer, God is saying this to His people upon the grounds of satisfied justice. He's not saying that because of the first Adam. But He is declaring the possession of Jacob upon the grounds and the foundation of the second Adam. And that second Adam, oh congregation, He is the gift of the Father given for the deliverance and for the holiness of the house of Jacob. Did I not say that it is Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated? That is now the language of the covenant congregation, and now the text words are describing a possession as a covenant inheritance. And now church of God, oh may it is be, to be led further in that knowledge of your holiness and of your deliverance. That isn't laying in a mere text. Feelings or deliverances anymore. Well, what is the Lord doing to establish the possession of the covenant benefits and inheritance in the life of Jacob? Oh, there lays the old pilgrim on his deathbed and he sees in his sons, no one will hold on to it. That man knew himself. And that man knew that out of his posterity he is not able to bring forth an unclean out of a clean. Impossible. But then Judah stands before him. And then that man may prophesy about the possession of the inheritance. There that man prophesies what Jacob possesses until Shiloh come. You see what his deathbed experience is? That man begins to declare his possession does not lay in Judah, but his possession lays in Christ Jesus. And congregation, that is now the foundation of the deliverance and the holiness of his church. And that is now exactly what his church needs to be led into. That is not something you just have as text in your pockets, people. That is now the Holy Ghost opening His Word unto His church and revealing unto that church that their possession lays secure in another. And what lays secure in Him, the Holy Ghost is then going to show He did not merit that for Himself. He merited that so He may apply it to His Jacob. Oh, there lays congregation the covenant inheritance in Christ Jesus. So the question becomes this morning, for those sighing ones, for those missing ones, and the mother in the pantry, the father in his work, you say, yeah, I have some experience. That's nice. But I ask something else this morning. Has there already been in your life a sight that holiness, that the deliverance and that holiness does now not lay in you, but that lays in an other? Because congregation, then the poet begins to say, my song forever shall record the tender mercies of the Lord. When that soul may behold that his or her salvation lays in an other, then they have a new song. Then they may sing of the goodness and of the good pleasure of the Lord. that lays revealed in and other than those people, with all their unholiness, and with all their impossibilities of not being delivered, then they may point unto one who has said, I will, they shall. And that becomes the language of their faith, that they believe. That's what the church says. That's not liberal doctrine, or that is our apostolic Christian faith. I believe in Jesus Christ. Right? I hope to say it again this afternoon. Do you believe it? Has it ever been revealed to you that your faith lays anchored in another, and that his possessions were yours? Oh, I don't say that you own it. But when that faith, that object of the faith became visible, Jesus Christ, was that not a moment, Church of God, that everything that was his, you seen that as yours? And now here, that is now the lessons in that spiritual life, that what he owns, that becomes their property. And congregation, oh, then, but my time is up, but do you know what then lays declared there? For that tribe of Jacob, that people of Jacob, those covenant heirs, that they will again receive the favor of the relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's God's word here this morning. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And what is the desire that God has? That he would have his Jacob as his possession for Christ's sake. And that so when the Holy Ghost leads into that knowledge and into that ways of how the Lord Jesus Christ was functioning as covenant head, then they will receive some lessons of his natures, of his states, of his benefits, of his offices, and of his names. And in those lessons lays declared their possession. Oh, that is a people who come to God's house, and they ask that that servant whom they may have received from the Lord, that he would be endowed with that unction of the Holy Spirit, so that they as poor ones may receive again that knowledge of their possession, their covenant inheritance. Then they have a good Sunday. Or then they may go home sometimes with joy in their heart, because it was declared again unto them that their deliverance and holiness lay secure in another, and then they can again go in the strife. Then again they can go and face, so to say, all those Edomites. And those Edomites in the world, now in the church too. All that is of people who come to stand more and more alone. But the Lord is showing unto those people their possession, that it lays secure in another. Oh, may I then leave you with that this morning. Where lays your possession? Is that in your bank? Is that in how much assets you have? That all falls away when you draw your last breath. That will all be written towards another. Is your possession resting in a mere outward religion? With your last breath, that also goes all to the wind. But now I read of the Apostle Paul at the end of his life. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And then he says that he will receive it. Not just him, but unto all them that love his appearing. O Church of God, you can't hold on to it. But now in that exercise of faith, what becomes evident? That the Lord Jesus Christ has merited a full and a free salvation. And when he displays himself, what he has merited, that is then revealed to be your possession. And then when you draw your last breath, oh, then that church may enter in. And then the apostle has said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, what then shall become their possession? That church shall sing for a those Jacobs Because of that covenant drawing, they shall sing, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Amen. Lord, we beg of thee for the application. Thou didst raise up an Obadiah when Edom seemed to triumph, but he could not go against what thou had from the stillness of eternity laid secure. Thou art the one who was electing thy church through that blood of Jesus Christ. That is the foundation, that foundation of the satisfied justice. And then thy church has to deal with all what comes against it. But there's also moments that they may behold their possession. Oh, we beseech thee, go with us in that unknown future. Thou wilt never forsake the works of thy own hands. But everything that is of us will be forsaken, that will be left desolate. Oh, give them, Lord, that thou wouldst restore on Mount Zion deliverance and holiness. Have dealings with us. Pass us not by. We thank thee for the help which thou hast given. Go with us one more time this afternoon. We beg it of thee in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Our closing psalter, that is Psalter 414. The stanzas 3 and 4, I laid me down and slept, I waked, for I was kept in his divine protection. For time's sake, we only sing stanza 3. Is there a collection? Then we sing both stanzas, 3 and 4 of 414.
following announcement yet. Eric Arnoldsen and Susan Nordegraff hope to be united in holy matrimony on Friday, July 14th. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by Tuesday, July 11th. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.